8:06 on listener-supported KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine for Monday, January 27th of 2025. Hey there, I'm Jackie Sedley. Coming up on today's show, you'll hear about locals working on breaking down barriers to access to the great outdoors here in Colorado. Then, you'll hear about other environmental efforts, this time to protect a species of sage, a sage-grouse habitat in western Colorado. We'll hear the latest commentary from Jim Hightower at 8:30. Then, today on A Public Affair, it's the Community Foundation. Host Jim Williams will be joined in the studio by Elizabeth Crow, Deputy Director of Housing and Human Services for the City of Boulder, and Sharon Kais. They'll talk about the Elevate Boulder program and its impact on participants and the community. At 9, Counterspin will bring us a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. And at 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative. Teen on listener-supported KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. Not everyone has access to the great outdoors, especially in Colorado, where so much of the land has been commercialized. There's many local groups and initiatives working to bridge the gaps between low-income families, marginalized communities, and the environment around us. Adelaide Reeder and Kaylee Gopar looked into the community-led initiatives nearby, working to break down barriers and foster diversity in outdoor education and experiences. They have this report.
Colorado's Front Range is known internationally for having quite an impressive outdoor recreation scene, with thousands of trails, camping grounds, parks, and natural spaces, positioning it as a sort of pioneer for outdoor recreation. This access has its benefits for Coloradans, as it has long been proven that getting outside, even just for a couple minutes each day, can have some pretty serious health benefits, both mentally and physically. But the truth is that the outdoors are still not accessible to everyone. Not all of us can make it to a trail, unfortunately. Despite these barriers to the outdoors, people are still working to make the outdoors more accessible through community involvement and grant funding, like the folks who run Thor Nature Experience in Lafayette.
I love the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Oakley Thorne was inspired by his childhood in rural New York and the Rockies to found the nonprofit Thor Nature Experience in 1954, which works on environmental-related projects focusing on human interactions with the environment and education for all ages. His love is reflected in Thorne's work, which is highlighted just a few minutes down the road from the nonprofit. Kids from Sanchez Elementary play just outside their school in a space run by Nature Kids, also known as Jóvenes de la Naturaleza.
My children don't want to go to Disneyland. My children don't want to go to other fancy places. They only want to go to the mountains.
Gabby Monge, who works at Nature Kids, knows the children's program well, not only due to her position at Thorne, but because her own children were once a part of it.
I think we had a very bad experience as a homeless, but after Nature Kids program, they healed las heridas.
Nature Kids was created in an effort to increase diversity in the outdoors for people like Gabby and her family. After experiencing homelessness, Gabby was able to get her children into the Nature Kids program, which allows low-income families to participate in family day camps for kids, and environmental education completely free of charge. Through collaborations with organizations like Thorne Nature Experience, YMCA, Calwood Education Center, and other local organizations, spots are guaranteed in these programs through the Nature Kids funding. The conglomerate of organizations working with Nature Kids ensures that a diverse range of programs are available, no matter what the family's needs or constraints may be. Gabby explains some of the constraints she and others have experienced.
We don't have money to pay a rafting. We don't have money to pay a cabin. Or we don't have any money to pay my gas.
Through these personal experiences and her job with Thorne, she feels like she gives a special perspective, as she shares her story with Nature Kids in an effort to provide more representation for others.
Is to hire people of color, to the people from the city or from the county, know the people to represent our team as the people to really have these necessities in the past.
Thorne Nature Experience and Nature Kids aren't the only groups in Colorado doing this kind of work. Further east in downtown Denver is the main office for Great Outdoors Colorado, also known as GOCO, which is the organization responsible for funding programs like these. Founded in 1992, GoCo uses lottery proceeds to provide grants to local environmental initiatives as a part of their equity commitment.
We're committed and have doubled down on our commitment to support organizations and individuals who make Colorado's outdoors more accessible, safe, and welcoming, encouraging our partners to bring forward projects that are developed by engaging local communities in all parts of project planning, especially those with identities that have historically been excluded from these processes.
Jackie Miller, the executive director of GoCo, has been with the organization since 2006 when she fell in love with their mission. Miller explained how GoCo's grant distribution system highlights both old and new projects in Colorado, such as Generation Wild, which highlights getting kids outside.
There are opportunities for youth leadership and mentorship, jobs available, and anyone across the state can look on our website, generationwild.com. They can identify where these coalitions are across the state and also identify nonprofit organizations who are participating in Generation Wild work.
GoCo's work is currently providing funding for 5,800 projects in Colorado, though, despite their help, Miller highlighted community as the most important part of this whole system.
Who bring together a diverse group of organizations to work with community, and oftentimes led by community, to identify their specific barriers to the outdoors and come up with community-identified solutions to those barriers.
There's no denying that going outside is beneficial for development. And while Colorado still has some strong barriers for certain communities, it's not a losing fight by any means.
You're not normal psychologically unless you have contact with nature. That's the concept of biophilia.
Access to the outdoors makes us healthier human beings. It makes us happier human beings.
Colorado is ranked as the third best state for nature lovers according to the Cultural Currents Institute. But with the continued work of organizations like Thorn Nature Experience, Nature Kids, and Great Outdoors Colorado, it very well may become number one as the push for equitable outdoor access continues in our great state of Colorado.
By introducing young people to nature, it definitely carries through their life, makes them good stewards of the earth.
#8:19 on listener-supported KGNU. This is The Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. The Bureau of Land Management has increased protections for not a type of sage, like I said at the top of the mag, but for the Gunnison sage-grouse habitat in western Colorado and eastern Utah. Back in October, the agency added an amendment to an existing resource management plan to protect the bird, which is federally listed as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. There are 8 populations of Gunnison sage-grouse in this region. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KVNF's Brody Wilson spoke with Gwen Harris and Emily Latta, wildlife biologists with the Bureau of Land Management in western Colorado. We'll hear first from Emily.
The population is only, it's estimated at 4,300 birds, and 85% of those are actually in the Gunnison Basin. So that makes these satellite populations, 7 satellite populations from the core population in the Gunnison Basin, really important. You know, that genetic diversity component is exceptionally important when we have a species that's, exhibiting a downward trend in population. And as people are probably aware, species like grouse do have cyclical trends, but this across its history has just, it's a precipitous downward trend in the population. That lekking time is exceptionally important. That's when birds are really sensitive to disturbance from humans, or just disturbance in general. We don't even have to blame humans for this. They're just really focused on breeding. A lek is like a congregation area that they come to display, and they do this like goofy kind of booming dance, and they have these air sacs that they fill up. And so the male birds are engaging in this dancing and singing, essentially. And they're so focused on that. And then, you know, females come to Lex, and that's where they have breeding opportunities. So any time that, you know, they could be potentially disturbed while engaging in this could be a loss to breeding opportunities and could have impacts to the population. And I know I mentioned like 4,300 birds, you know, population wide. Our population in Crawford is estimated to be only about 44 individuals. So that's a very important population. And that's why we've really ramped up these protections, is to try to protect that.
The BLM uses a document called a resource management plan to guide land use decisions over a 15 to 20 year time span.
Resource management plans really are blueprints for BLM to manage lands. Another way I like to think about it is that it's making decisions on resources and lands in one document. So every time a proposal comes up, you already have a set of sideboards to work on. You're not like reinventing the wheel, or you're like, oh, I don't know, is it okay to have a solar development in this area? So that's what resource management plans really do for us, is help us have a blueprint of how to manage public lands.
So if you go camping on BLM land, it's these resource management plans that decide whether you'll see logging trucks rolling down the road, or have cattle grazing through your camp, or if there will be a solar development or a fracking rig nearby. So what happens when the land contains, say, a Gunnison sage-grouse lick, critical to a threatened species' survival?
It's an area of critical environmental concern, or an ACEC, is a special designation that's typically done in the land use planning process or the resource management plan planning process.
So an area of critical environmental concern, or an ACEC, is an extra protection that can be added to a resource management plan when there's something critical to protect. It could be a beautiful, notable rock formation or a threatened species of bird like the Gunnison sage-grouse. Gwen Harris.
The Gunnison sage-grouse area of critical environmental concern, or ACEC, is near Crawford. It's kind of north and a little bit east of the national park land up there. This area has already been designated and has specific protections in place. And there is a new RMP amendment out.
That's RMP for Resource Management Plan.
For the Gunnison sage-grouse specifically, that is adding another layer of protection and management in that area. This amendment covers the entirety of the Gunnison sage-grouse range, which is throughout Colorado and Utah. It's about 10 counties in Colorado and 2 counties in Utah. So this speaks to management throughout all 8 of those populations. Of course, the main population of Gunnison sage-grouse, its stronghold is in the Gunnison area, and then there's 7 satellite populations, and Crawford is lucky enough to be home to one of those satellite populations.
And what protections are you putting in place?
First, I just want to say kind of what's already been in place. So the area, the ACEC, out in Crawford has been closed to motorized and mechanized, is the technical term, but basically motorized vehicles and bicycles from December 1st through March 15th.
This closure actually runs through May 15th.
That's already been in place in order to protect big game wintering areas. And then it's also been closed to camping from December 1st through July 15th, also for the big game, but for Gunnison sage-grouse breeding and nesting periods. We're adding on an additional all-uses closure from March 15th through May 15th to benefit the Gunnison sage-grouse during its really sensitive time, which happens to be during their lekking season, which is a fancy way of saying their breeding season and then into their nesting period as well.
So in an effort to give the Gunnison sage-grouse a better chance to breed, this lek in Crawford and 7 others across Colorado and Utah are being further protected with the resource management plan amendment. some with all-use closures like Gwen just described, where humans can't go into the area at all during breeding season, as well as other protections for other satellite populations. But human interruptions to lekking aren't the only pressures on the Gunnison sage grouse.
Drought is a really negative impact for ground nesting birds. It's really documented well in the literature. When grouse are little babies, they're really small and they can't fly. There's a whole host of predators. The literature suggests that there are both aerial and ground predators, things like ravens and hawks and golden eagles can pick off grouse. And then also things like, coyotes and skunks and weasels. Basically anything wants to eat a baby grouse.
Chicken nuggets.
They're little chicken nuggets. They can't fly.
That was BLM wildlife biologists Emily Latta and Gwen Harris speaking with KVNF's Brody Wilson. That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KGNU. And that brings us to the end of today's Morning Magazine. Once again, I've been your host, Jackie Sedley. If you'd like to comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can always leave us a voicemail at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesdays during the Morning Magazine. We'll hear the latest commentary from Jim Hightower in just a couple of minutes. After that, on A Public Affair, it's the Community Foundation. Host Jim Williams will be joined in the studio by Elizabeth Crow, Deputy Director of Housing and Human Services for the City of Boulder, and Sharon Kais. They'll talk about the Elevate Boulder program and its impact on its participants and the community. At 9, Counterspin will bring us a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting, and at 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative. That's the rundown. It's all coming up. Stay tuned.